a metabolic tracing revealed that these two bacteria can provide the bitcarin skeleton and a spindle 1 phosphate, and these two metabolites combine on the neonatal skin to form the hybrid lipid called NBC2S1P. This is the main finding of this study. And this lipid can positively correlate with the neural development scores at 3 and 6 months of age.
Welcome to the Science, Microbes, and Health podcast from ISAP. We're a nonprofit scientific organization advancing science in probiotics, prebiotics, and related fields. This episode is part of a series exploring early life microbiota development. We'll be speaking with experts about characteristics of the developing microbiota in early life, from infancy through childhood, and the relationship to children's health and development.
Hello, I'm Daniel Tancredi, and today I'm excited to interview two scientists on an exciting mechanism that they've explored for vaginal seeding and how it can affect neural development in newborn infants. So I'm welcoming Dr. Zhihua Shi and Dr. Huang Zhang.
So thank you for having me. So why we became interested in this question? So the cesarean delivery is often life-saving when medically indicated, but it also changes more important early life event, the infant's post-microbial exposure. During vaginal birth, newborns are exposed maternal, vaginal, and intestinal associated microbes, including Lactobacillus, Bacteroides, Bifidobacteria, which help establish the early life microbiome. However, cesarean delivered infants are more often initially colonized by skin and the environment associated microbes, such as Staphylococcus, Corynebacteria, and other hospital-associated bacteria, rather than maternal vaginal microbes like Tuberculosis. So evidence has shown that these differences in early colonization are associated with altered microbial development, including delayed microbial maturation and the differences in microbial composition during infancy. Importantly, the microbiome is increasingly recognized not only for its role in digestion and immunity, but also for its potential influence on metabolism and neural development. So based on this background, vaginal microbiota transfer, we call the VMT, was proposed as a way to partially restore microbial exposure in cesarean delivered infants. So the idea is to transfer maternal vaginal microbes to the newborn shortly after birth. So the goal of promoting microbial development that more closely resembles that of vaginally delivered infants. So our work built on this biological rationale, but we are also interested in a broader question. Can early microbial exposure influence late functional outcomes, especially neural development and early behavior?
We also call VMT vaginal seeding, and that idea has been explored in many studies. One of the roadblocks, though, is that some of the beneficial bacteria associated with the vaginal microbiome seem to have short-lived durations in the gut. So you explored an alternative mechanism. Can you tell us about the mechanism involving the skin microbiome brain axis?
Yeah, sure. Actually, in this study, we found the order and the timing of the colonization in once determines how strains subsequently interact with one another. And in fact, known as a priority, Indeed, in most models of enteric disease, pre-colonizational naive host with a benign strain can limit subsequent engraftment of a pathogenetic strain of the same species and prevent mucosal injury. Thus, an infant's first microbial encounters may have long-term consequences for microbe composition and skin health. Actually, the sterility of newborns' adverts has been questioned, and some groups have reported bacterial DNA in the placenta or the fetus. But for the skin microbiota, this is a very new study for our discovery. And we found the most extensive and skin microbial colonization begins at birth, immediately postpartum. The microbiota is homogeneously distributed across the human body regardless of delivery, method, or gestural age. However, the long-term consequences of these initial perturbations are not known. And in this study, we found VMT could rapidly establish a vagina-like skin microbiota in cesarean section neonates, reached many like the Lactobacillus crystis and the Bacteroides fragilis. Metabolic tracing revealed that these two bacteria can provide the beta-carotene skeleton and a sphingosine 1-phosphate, and these two metabolites combine on the neonatal skin to form the hybrid lipid called NBC2S1P. This is the main finding of this study. And this lipid can positively correlate with the neural development scores at 3 and 6 months of age. And in cesarean section mouse model, NBC2S1P penetrated the neonatal skin and reached the brain, bouncing S1PR2 signaling.
Let's kind of break this down. So you had three groups. You had the vaginally delivered babies, and then you had moms who underwent elective cesarean section, and they were randomized to either get vaginal seeding or saline, like a sterile gauze with saline. So it was a randomized comparison among the elective C-section moms. And you showed that as we would expect, the Lactobacillus crispatus and the Bacteroides fragilis was higher in the babies exposed to the vaginal seeding. And then you did very interesting work to show that those two strains were involved in synthesizing this important lipid that could actually get to the brain and influence neuronal growth and synaptic plasticity and circuit formation. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's really interesting how you guys thought to explore the newborn skin. So the newborn skin is much more permeable, were you surprised at the role of this lipid? I know that you also thought that there could be other mechanisms, including a glycan, that you showed that the lipid was more important, the beta carboline sphingosine 1 phosphate lipid was more important. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it worked out. It tells a nice story though, because you then showed that it's involved in cellular signaling, that there's a lot of evidence that has neurodevelopmental implications. Can you tell us about the animal model that you then developed? Like, what is the issue with that particular lipid is that its production isn't sustained, right? So you somehow developed a clever engineering trick to sustain its synthesis. Who had the idea to do that on your team?
Yes, I mainly focused on the... Actually, our team has mainly focused on the engineering bacteria to make the precision intervention, especially for the neural development. And in this study, we have do a lot of things about because we have found a new mechanism of the lipid called NBC2S1P to change the neural development of the through the skin microbiota. So this study, we want to use the engineering bacteria to have an intervention to change our actually on the one side we want to confirm our family, and the other side we want to make a new translation for the future.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You showed that it had to be metabolized, like it really had to be developed by the microbiota, like just simply applying that NBCS to S1P topically isn't going to give you the same benefit as when it's metabolized by the microbiota. So you produce this really compelling evidence of this skin-brain axis in the newborn. And so vaginal seeding is something that is not yet recommended because we don't have evidence for clinical outcomes. But it is recommended that it be explored in research. And I think research like the kind that you're doing, that not only looks at outcomes, but also explores mechanism, is really important. Can you tell us where you think this research is going to go next?
So, and I think so our findings from the two studies and suggest that early microbial exposure may be a modifiable factor in early life development.
Yes.
But there are still important questions before clinic translation, just like Dr. Zhang mentioned. And I think from the mechanistic perspective, our animal study suggests microbial exposure may influence neural development through complex pathways involving skin microbiota, metabolic signaling, and possibly immune brain interactions.
Yes.
And so, and I think so. We just the next step we can do the as an animal study about the immune brain interaction. Yeah, that's our next step. So, and
wonderful.
However, so this mechanism are still being actively investigated and are not yet fully understood in humans. So this is from mechanistic perspective. Now from the clinical perspective, one of the biggest challenges is safety and standardization. Safety and standardization. So if VMT or vaginal seeding or related microbial-based interventions are to move toward clinical use. So the FMT is very popular in China.
Right.
Just these recent days. So the Chinese government from the health commission. So we have the guideline about FMT. And I think so VMT, and I think it's the same thing. So we need, but we still need a rigorous protocols, careful safety evaluation, and the clear criteria for participant selection. And another important challenge is generalizability, how to extend to the other population. So our current evidence comes from just only one center research, controlled research. So,
yes.
And also with relatively small samples. So larger multi-center studies will be essential to confirm both microbial and developmental outcomes like neurodevelopment and also the skin immunity, something like that. So for example, in our group, and also we extended the, asthma atopic, something like that. So extended. So at the same time, and this research opens exciting new possibilities. Yeah.
Are you optimistic about the ability to conduct the multi-site studies? We need visionary funding organizations to support
that. Correct. You're right.
Dr. Zhang, what do you see as your next steps in this line of research? Is it the same to participate in multi-site studies or?
Yeah, sure. I think this study has some limitations, like we don't have a large clinical cohorts to explore the more infine skin microbiota to have the emphasis on the neurodevelopment and in the preterm and the term infants. And more mechanism studies should be conducted on the strain-specific effects and the dose response of like the probiotics or the newborn scale health. So yes. we call for the multi-center collaboration from more countries and more universities to unify research standards and translate these findings into the care recommendations. So
yeah, those are very good points. Ultimately, what's going to impact health is what we show works in humans. So even with the amazing experimental work in animals that you use to support the findings you showed in the humans in your study, ultimately, we're going to need to be able to explore those mechanisms, I think, in humans.
And so, yeah, sure.
Well, let's hope that we are able to get more and more evidence to understand both the benefits and the potential harms of a very promising approach to address the potential that newborns delivered by cesarean section may not be exposed to the kind of beneficial microbes that vaginally delivered newborns are. I'd like to thank our guests for this really exciting research. It's really made an important impact and is causing a lot of excitement to learn more about this potential mechanism linking the newborn skin with neurodevelopment.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Science, Microbes, and Health podcast from ISAP. If you've been enjoying the show, please follow and rate our podcast to help support our continued work. You can also send us your feedback, questions, or topic suggestions by emailing info@isapscience.org and check the show notes for links and further information on this topic.